So here's our lesson today. John 19 is the cross, and John 20 is the resurrection. Jesus' story does not end at his death. What about your story? What about your story? And your story does not have to end at your death. So, if you trust Jesus as your Savior, look, death is not the end for believers. And that's today's lesson. But we did say, most biographies end with the death of the person that the story is written about. So I have a biography about someone you know and love. This person is responsible for most of you being here today. And you may not even know him. But his name is Adoniram Judson. And he is the first missionary the first American missionary in Burma. And I would like, we'll have a reading practice today. And so if you don't know about Adoniram Judson, maybe you know there's a lot of Judson Bible colleges and there's a lot of Judson Baptist churches. And you say, why are they all named Judson? Because Adoniram Judson was the missionary to Burma. And through him, many, many Karen people trusted the Lord Jesus. Many, many Chin people trusted the Lord Jesus. And so this is his story. And let's just for one moment, I'll do some reading. This is at the end of Judson's life. And remember, every biography ends in death. Sometimes Adoniram, that's his first name, would be ill for weeks on end. And other times Emily is his wife. And she would be made low by some sickness. And whenever they were well enough, they went about their duties. They did their chores. This is very sad. Are you prepared to be sad today? So, Adoniram was weak and vomited often. The doctors suggested a sea voyage, a sea trip, as the only hope of cure. And since Emily, who was expecting their second child any day, was unable to go with him, he had to go alone. Adoniram's symptoms became worse. His feet swelled, and then the entire left side of his body. Emily, his wife, began to suspect or think that he was dying. And so the night before he was due to set sail, she asked him if he was prepared for the possibility of death. Before her husband got on the ship, Emily asked her husband, "Are you ready to die?" That's a great question. And look at his answer. He said, "Were you prepared for the possibility of death? Are you ready to die?" Adoniram replied, "I am not tired of my work. Neither am I tired of the world. Yet when Christ calls me home, I shall go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from his school." You ever see children going to school? They go kind of slow. You see children leaving school? Wham! He says, "If I have to die, I'm going to be like a child released from school." Why? Because Adoniram Judson was confident that his death would be a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the story is kind of sad, right? Because the man's dying. And this is the guy who brought the gospel to Burma. But it's kind of happy because he says, I'm going to be like a schoolboy who is released from school. And... all right, but this is sad. On Wednesday, April 3rd, 1850, so that's not too long ago, that's 173 years ago. I mean, that's older than me, but that's 173 years ago. 61-year-old Adoniram was carried aboard the French, this is a boat, this is a French boat, and that's the name of the boat. And it was bound for the Isle of France, an island, and it was a sobering or sad moment. The church members gathered at the dock to beg him not to go. They told him they could not bear the thought of his being buried at sea with no grave for them to visit. And Adoniram sympathized with them. He felt bad. But the doctor had told him that a voyage was his only hope for survival, and he felt it would be wrong not to do all that he could to live. 9 days out to sea. On April 12, 1850, Adoniram Judson died. Sad story. And what's sad about it? Keep reading. The ship's carpenter made a rough coffin. He didn't even have a real coffin. Have you ever buried someone and said, how much money can we spend on the coffin, the box to put you in? I want a pretty coffin so that people look good when their body goes into the grave. They didn't even have a beautiful coffin. They made a coffin on the ship to hold his body. Where are they going to bury the body of the man? He says they made a rough coffin, and Adoniram's body was placed inside the coffin, which was slid overboard that same evening. What does that mean? They dumped his body in the ocean. They didn't even bury his body in the dirt. How would you like your life to end like that? Body dumped in the ocean. No friends to come have a house blessing for you. That'd be kind of sad. Unless you knew that you were leaving your body and you were going to be running to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Our song said in the sweet, sweet by and by. Well, let's see. Did I finish? No. There were no hymns, no prayers, no speeches, no dramatic goodbyes. Just a few simple words muttered by the French captain of the Astride Marie, that's the ship, as the ship sailed toward the Andaman Islands. Ironically, Adoniram was buried at sea in almost the same spot that his and Anne's first child had been buried on their first voyage to Burma 37 years before. You know the guy that brought the good news of Jesus Christ to Burma? Do you know how his trip to Burma began? With his first wife of three wives and losing their child at a spot in the ocean where the baby's body was buried in the sea. Do you know how his life ended? 37 years later, the same spot, his body goes into the sea there. Well, that's a biography, isn't it? That's living for the Lord. Is that the end? Well, that's a good question. Is that the end? Someone shook their head, and I'm on your side. I say no. Listen to this. This is good news. And this is exciting. The burial of Adoniram Judson was not the end. This is a verse from the book of Revelation, and it talks about what happens to your body. If you are to die, may I explain something about your body? Your body is a house and you live in it right now. That's clear, isn't it? The day you die, you leave this house, don't you? And what people put in the ground, or maybe your body will be dumped in the ocean, wherever your body goes, it's your house that's put away. But the real you is either with the Lord Jesus or away from the Lord Jesus forever and ever and ever. And so, the Lord Jesus, through John in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, tells us what happens to bodies. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Wait, whose body is in the sea? Adoniram's body is in the sea. And then I think his first child's body was buried at sea. And you say, how can God raise a body out of the ocean? It's dissolved. You know, God can find the smallest molecule from the ocean and create a new eternal house for you to live in forever and ever and ever. Isn't that great? That is good news. So where your body, where your house ends up after you leave it, is of no importance, because the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered, he has won the battle against death, so that just as Jesus' body came out of the grave and became his new eternal house, God is going to raise everybody's body in this room and give you a new body for your new eternal house. And here's what happens. When it says the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and that's what made me think of Adoniram, that's why I picked this story, because his body was in the sea, an impossible place. Jesus is going to do an impossible thing in giving you a new body. So the sea gave up the dead, that's raising your body. But what about the part that's gone, the real you? What will happen to the real you at the resurrection of your body? And this is good news, or this is bad news. The real you, and that's your soul, and that includes your spirit also, will be reunited with that house. And you and I will stand again in a body as a man or as a woman, body, soul, and spirit complete before God. Is that good news? Maybe. Maybe. But it's certain, it's a fact, death and Hades gave up the dead. And so death is the place of the bodies, and Hades is the place of the where it's just a general term where the unseen part of you goes. It's the death that holds you until the resurrection. And so the resurrection is going to bring both the body and soul together. Now, the bad news. I'm going to give you some bad news. So you thought the Adoniram Judson story is sad. This is sadder. What if Jesus is not your Savior? What if you never have let him be the payment for your sin? And you never have accepted him as your life from the dead? Then you will be raised from the dead. In fact, this verse in Revelation 20:13 is about the second resurrection. It's the resurrection to death. And it is about the time when everyone who never trusted Jesus as Savior is also raised from the dead. And the Lord Jesus says there are two resurrections. And one resurrection is for those who have trusted Jesus as Savior. And the second resurrection is for those who have not trusted Jesus as Savior. But in this resurrection, the believer gets a house and a body that's equipped for him to enjoy Jesus Christ forever. And this person who is also raised from the dead, he never trusted in the Lord Jesus. This person also gets a body. You were born with a body and a soul and a spirit. And one day you again are going to get a body and a soul and a spirit. But this body, for lost men and women, will be a body that is able to suffer and feel pain and never have relief. Day and night, separated from God forever, in a lake that's burning, that originally was created for Satan and his angels. You see, God is holy, and he must punish sin. Holiness means that God has no sin. And it also means that God is 100% good. There's no sin in God. He's absolutely good. So in the end, the holy God has to separate sinful people and sinful angels from himself in a place of punishment. But it doesn't have to be that way, of course. He offers the Lord Jesus as your payment. And you know what he says about the payment? He says, you don't make the payment. You don't pay. It's a gift. The book to Romans, chapter 6 and verse 23, says the wages of sin is death. That's what I earn from sin. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God says salvation is a gift. And God says, even if I try, I can't earn eternal life because my sin must be paid by not good works. My sin has to be paid by death. So Jesus offered his death as a substitute for me. Isn't that exciting? But then he offers his life as life to me when I was dead. Wouldn't you like to be alive? And that's what he's saying here. And so so that really was to unsaved people, but that's true about everyone. And now what Jesus says to saved people, all right, have you trusted Jesus as Savior? What does he say? Don't be afraid. Hey, don't be afraid. You could actually be thinking about death like the kid on his way home from school. You know what I would think? What's in the refrigerator? What did my mother cook? And I am so ready to be home from school and find out whatever good thing is waiting in the house. And so that's the expectation a believer can have, because I know I'm going to the Father's house. And I also know that God is preparing a new body house for me. And so the Lord Jesus says to Christians, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. What is Jesus saying there? He says, look,
You came into this world dead in your sins. Everybody did. We walk and we talk. How am I dead? I am dead because I am cut off from a relationship with God. And so when I come in this world, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked. It's like zombies. The day of the living dead. I mean, I hope you don't watch those movies, but if you did, you get an idea that we are dead people walking. And dead people walking are the people Jesus came to save. Are you a dead person walking? The Lord says, look, I have good news for you. I'm the living one. I want to give you life. And here's what I did. I was dead. I went into your death. And I went into your death so much that I came out of death, and I wanted to take you out of death also. Don't you want that, man? We have a little verse up here. He's altogether lovely. Jesus is lovely. And I like the word, he's altogether, right? You kind of see the word all. He's all lovely. Well, he's altogether lovely. Everything about Jesus is lovely. But isn't it lovely that he loved you so much he would go where he didn't have to go? Right down in your death? And then, after he goes in your death, he takes you where he doesn't have to take you. He is going to take you to glory. In fact, he says his goal is to bring many sons to glory. He became poor, right? Death is poor. You can't be any poorer than dead. And you can't be any richer than God in glory. And here's what God wants to, he offers you a trade today. Here's the trade. You give Jesus your poverty. And you give Jesus your death. He already took it, but you give it to him, and he trades it for his life and his glory. You see, it's a gift, it's paid for, but it's a gift that you still must receive. So there's something to do on your part, but it's not working. It's letting Jesus do what I can't do. So is he lovely? Oh my goodness, he is so lovely. So he says, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And this is what we talked about at the blessing last night as we remembered Pepe, who went to be with the Lord Jesus. And we said, Jesus has the keys. You know, there's doors in this building we've lost the keys for. Nobody can open them. We're just happy to get in this door here, because we still have the key to this door here. Imagine Jesus saying, I have the key to the door that you don't have the key. And that's what Jesus is saying. You don't have a key to death. I have the key to death. You don't have the key to life. I have the key to life. He's offering you a key you don't have. This is exciting. I have the keys to death. That's the release of your body. I have the keys to Hades. That's the release of your soul. He has the keys to put you together again when the Lord Jesus returns. And so John 20, and John thinks about this a lot because this is written by John, this is written by John. John loves the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that's what he's teaching us here. So we could say Jesus has the keys to unlock death. Or we could say Jesus is the key That's a little bit different, isn't it? He has the keys, or he is the key. And I say he is the key the moment you receive Jesus. The key has unlocked your death. Wow. Does going to church make you saved? No. I mean, it's good to go to church and learn the Bible, right? But you can learn and learn and learn and never put the key in the door. And the door is locked. So you must come to a point where after you learn and learn and learn, you decide what will you do with the key, and the key is Jesus. And if you take this key, he unlocks your sin, he unlocks your death,
and it's resurrection. I'm still not to John, but I'd like to point out the message that God asks us to trust. So you can see in the Bible, Paul writes this book that's on the screen now, but you say, well, what do I have to believe about Jesus? What's the actual message that I must understand? And here's the actual message. Paul writes it in a book called 1 Corinthians. Of course, that meant people at Corinth, which is a city in Greece. And Paul said, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. What do you know right away about this message? Paul says, this is the most important thing in life. This is first importance. What is more important than first? I can't think of anything, can you? No. This is first importance, Paul says. And it's so important that what did Paul do with this message? Someone said. I think that meant he received it, didn't he? Paul not only gave out this message, he received it. You mean the apostle Paul was a sinner? Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. I'm the number one sinner. You know what Paul did? He murdered Christians. I used to pick on Christians before I got saved. When I was in the army, and I did not know Jesus as Savior, I picked on Christians. And I tried to get them to do the same sins that I was doing as a non-Christian. But Paul murdered them. I didn't have the opportunity to murder any Christians. But guess what? Paul said Jesus died for a murderer. I do not know what your sin is that bothers you at night. When you put your head on the pillow, what comes into your mind that makes you sad about your behavior? And the Lord Jesus said, I paid for that. I paid for that. You know you don't have to have that guilt. And Paul was a murderer of Christians. And he says, look, I delivered this news to you right here, and I also received it for myself because I'm a sinner. So here's the news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. In other words, the Bible, the scriptures, tells us that Christ died for our sins. He made the payment. It was his death. Or my death. That's what it means. If I do something for you, it's either you do it or I do it. And Christ said, I do it for you.
That's the F-O-R.
In my place. So the good news is first you must believe that Jesus paid the payment for your sin. That's part one of the message.
Got it? By the way, if after the message is done and you still have questions, maybe Kapru would also help me if anyone needs translation or help with the message. Just stay after and we'll talk about the message.
So, message part one, Jesus paid for your sins and he was buried. That proves he was dead if he was buried. And that he was raised from the dead. This is part two of the message. That Jesus not only paid for my sins, but that he won the battle against death. And these are the two things that you trust Jesus to do that makes you his child the moment you trust him. And the two things is that Jesus died for you and that Jesus was raised for you. And it says, and that he appeared. And so that's what we see in John 20, which we'll never get to. I mean, we'll get to it next time, okay? But I think we'll probably stop just with this closing challenge. We're getting ourselves ready for the resurrection. So, think about this. The disciples who followed Jesus in his lifetime, they believed in the Lord Jesus, and they believed before the resurrection. They were saved before, well, that's supposed to be they, I am sorry. The disciples believed, were saved before they believed in the resurrection. They trusted Jesus. Why didn't they have to believe in the resurrection at first? Because he wasn't raised from the dead. They believed that God promised a Savior. And when the Savior came, John the Baptist said, behold, or look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And they believed that, and the Lord said they were saved. They had it so easy. Paul says, I need to add something to this, because history has changed, hasn't it? We're not at the same place as everyone before the cross. And before the empty tomb, we're in a new place in history. So God has given you a new and better message. And the new and better message is John 19, the cross shows you the way out of sin. Paid. The Lord Jesus said, finished. John 20 shows us the resurrection and shows us the way out of death. And so today, God is offering you a better message than what John the Baptist preached. He's offering you a better message than what the message was before Jesus went to the cross. He's offering you a message that is a way out of death as well as a payment for your sin. And he's asking you, just take God at his word. Just take God at his word. So you see my last line up here. And please, will you think about this? Have you believed the complete gospel with both parts? When you take Jesus as your Savior, as God is offering you a gift today, just like his arms were reached out to you with a gift, I'm offering you my son, and if you take him, he's your death, and he's your life. Have you believed that? Or will you today? Maybe right now you have not known about Jesus this way. Or maybe you've known, but you've never acted by trusting Jesus. It's a good opportunity. What else do you have to do right now? This is your business time with God. And I urge you, I encourage you to do business with God right now as we close. I never tell people come up front and be saved. I never tell people raise your hand and be saved. Because you don't come to me
And you don't have to raise your hand. You come to the Lord Jesus yourself. You're all adults. And Jesus is alive, and God has offered him to you. And so today, if you've understood, this is your step, and this is your business with God. You, in your heart, come to the Lord and trust him right now to do what you cannot do. And when you do, his promise is he, I'll put she in there too, he or she who has the Son has the life. Wow, he's altogether lovely. And God is offering you the lovely Lord Jesus. I am going to close in prayer. And I encourage you to thank the Lord for his Son right now. Or receive the Lord Jesus right now. This is your choice. No one can make you a Christian. What will you do with the Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you that he not only took our death, but he invites us to life. I pray that if anyone is confused, that you'll clear their understanding. If anyone is under-motivated, that you'll motivate them. That they'll see the Lord Jesus. They'll see their need of the Lord Jesus and be helped to come to the Lord Jesus. I thank you for everyone who is here today who has already trusted the Lord Jesus. We thank you for an eternal house body that's been prepared for us, that's ours in the future, to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus forever and ever. Dismiss us with your blessing and don't let us forget the lessons from your word. Work them over and over in our hearts. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.